This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Armand and team. Armand, I think, is an impact player from Rondebosch, eh? This morning, while I was just praying beforehand, I just heard God or the Holy Spirit just put in my mind the whole time the good news, hey? And we've got the good news in our hearts, and good news that we know Jesus, the good news. Sometimes when we walk into church, I must say, sometimes I feel I want to stand up and say, you do know we serve Jesus, the good news, you know? And in a weekend like this, we celebrate the fact that he didn't just die. He also, you know, he's also alive. You know, sometimes we as Christians can sometimes be like, I think we sometimes need to look in the mirror and say, we don't need to suffer with Jesus on the cross anymore. He's actually finished with that part. You know, we can live with him. And this morning I'm going to preach about expectations. And I hope it will help you and help me, and that we can grow in our intimacy with God. Maybe just quickly something about myself. For those who don't know me, my name is Jan Korbrink. There it is. I live here in Somerset West, I think for 12 years. And I'm on the Shofar Apostolic Team leadership, and I work in Franschhoek at the support center where I'm the general manager of Shofar. And this weekend, I'm standing in for all our pastors this year, and I think they're all in a long weekend. They've got all the impact players, Armand and myself, and so on. So this morning, I want to maybe just quickly a little bit background of myself. I don't have like that very typical, I want to say some of you will know BC stories. I don't have that typical, I was this great sinner, I did all these drugs and all these weird stuff, and then I met Jesus, and now something happened. In my case, actually, as long as I can remember, I did know the Lord. I've never been drunk in my life. Is there someone else that's not drunk in their life? So I've not been drunk in my life. You know, for those who've done F4 or Legacy, Liberty, my form didn't have a lot of ticks. And actually, going through that form, I was more like, what is all this stuff, you know? Where do all these people live, you know? So that's not really my background. At the same time, I had all the typical, how can I say, I still had the same Jesus and the same devil, okay? So I still had to go through guilt and shame and condemnation, all those stuff, but it's on a different level. But for me, my journey with the Lord, a lot of times, and even so when you even hear me preach, it is usually about our intimacy with the Lord. So I didn't have that, like, overcome this, I don't know, major drugs or something, you know, story. But for me, it has always been my relationship with the Lord. And that's, for me, most important and usually the thing that I will focus on even when I share a message. Okay, so I know sometimes some people can't probably associate with that. And I can a lot of times also not associate with that typical, you know, salvation story. For me, it's actually weird to think that there is people that can't hear the voice of the Lord. It's really a weird concept to me, okay? So, this morning I want to talk about that expectations, and part of when I think of our relationship and our intimacy with the Lord, obviously the best place to look is in our prayer time. And I found that a lot of people, if you look at our prayer time, we have this expectation of God, and we pretty much have two areas that we pray for. And if I can summarize it, the one is we pray to Jesus, our quiet time with God is where he's the provider, he's the healer, he's the comforter, and there's all these things that he's doing for us or that we want him to do for us, okay? So that's one part where people serve the Lord, they pray towards him in their quiet time. Then there's another place in our quiet time, and it's where even like the song, we know that God is holy, and it's that place of holiness. And a lot of us then pray a lot about trying to get to that place of holiness. And a lot of us, is actually usually we pray more, we want to be more perfect. But if we only focus on those two areas in our lives, we're really missing a big part of God's heart where he wants to let us grow in. And I'm going to explain this maybe in another way. If we see this from the perspective of parents and we think about our children, what is the main focus of parenting with our children? Is it to make sure they get food, they got provision, that they have a roof over their head, that they, when they're sick, we help them with their, you know, with the sickness. And also then the other area, like I said in a prayer time, is to make sure they go through school, they must get good marks, they must be good at their sport, they must be good at everything so they can look good. If I, after 18 years and just before they leave our house, and I've achieved in all those things, were I a good parent to my children? Some of you are like, the answer is no. Because there's something in between where we have to, as a parent, actually teach our children more about their character and how to grow in maturity. So you can have all those things in place, the provision, they were healthy, all those things, and at the same time, they were perfect marks and they were the best at their sport, but still they as a person, as a child, didn't grow in their maturity in the love of God. So our main purpose is not just to make sure all those things are in place, but to actually show them the love of God, to show them the character, who God is to our children. Do you agree? Is it like are you now more fine with explanation? So at the same time as in our prayer time, a lot of times we actually only stop at that certain level. So we grow in a place where we only know God in that place of what he can do, like children can, what they can get from their children, from their parents. At the same time, also, we grow in that expectation that God thinks we need to be perfect, and then we actually bring all those things to him. But we never get to know him as just God the Father, where he can just talk to us. So we get to that place where we grow not in our depth with the Lord, and we don't grow in our intimacy with him because of the type of conversation that we have. And I want to just bring a few things before you this morning. 1 John 1 verse 5 to 6. This is the message that I've heard from him, and I declare to you, God is the light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I compare this also with James 5, which says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Now, for most of us, I hope, one of our goals is to walk in the light as God is in the light. And the Bible here makes it clearly that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship not just with God, but also with one another. So what does it actually mean? I don't know if you've thought about this. What does it actually mean to walk in the light? What does it mean? What does it mean to you? If I tell you, okay, you must walk in the light, what does it actually mean? And again, for most of us, not most of us, a lot of us, we think walking in the light means we need to be perfect. That is what the light is, because God is the light, and in him there's no darkness. So meaning that for us to walk in the light, we need to be without any sin. We need to be perfect. But as you can see there, just in the same verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we are a liar. So by walking in the light doesn't mean you don't have sin. Otherwise, you couldn't repent of sin after you're already in the light. Are you with me? So this walking in the light is not being without sin. Walking in the light means something different. And this process of walking in the light also shows our God's plan for us also to walk in fellowship. So you got a lot of people that they don't experience Jesus where Jesus purify them or forgive them. But the reason for that a lot of times is because we don't walk in the light. So the goal here for us is to get to that place where we have fellowship with one another, walk in the light. And part of that walking in the light is actually just to be transparent and to realize that you're not perfect. Then we're actually walking in the light with one another. So if I come to you and if I'm without sin, well, then I'm not walking in the light. Does it make sense? If I come to you and I'm transparent and I show my weakness and the way you're obviously going to approach that weakness, then we have fellowship. Are you with me? So walking in light doesn't just mean we are without sin. And I want to actually read to you in the same author, 1 John 2, verse 9 to 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or a sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or a sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So we actually find here that when Jesus says walk in the light, it talks actually quite a lot about our relationship with people around us. If I can quickly, some other translations, even in 1 John 2 verse 11 says, but if we love others, we are in the light and we don't cause problems for them. If we love others, we live in the light, and so there is nothing in us that will cause someone else to sin. And for me, why this is important is a lot of times that we sometimes have this expectation of other people to also, in a sense, be perfect without being sin, of not having any weakness. And then it's an unfair expectation that we put around people around us, and that makes that we actually don't walk in the light. Are you with me? To maybe even explain this a bit better, and it's actually where I felt God spoke to me about this sermon. So if nothing made sense till up to now, that's okay. So the other day I was driving, and I knew I'm going to preach, and at some stage I was meditating, and I knew, I've told you guys also before, for those who've been here, I've got a very good wife, and I'm very thankful for my wife, and I've even previously said, I only learned that it's God's goodness that leads to repentance after marrying my wife, because in the way she treated my weaknesses, I saw so much of her goodness, and that made me want to change, okay? So I've got a very good wife. Now, at the same time, I'm not a perfect husband, and we're not perfect people. My best friend's wife told me once, she's so glad she's not married to me. I actually responded, said, the feeling is mutual. But anyway, so while driving and meditating on this, I said to God, I actually want to understand her goodness better. Explain it to me. I want to, understand it better. And then it was like the Holy Spirit reminded me that we are married for 12 years, and I knew her 5 years before that too, that I can't actually remember a single time that I felt my wife wanted me to change. At any moment. And as I said, I know I'm not the perfect person. If you're those that know me, I'm not the perfect person. And that makes our I want to say marriage, very special. That is a place that we can just be ourselves, and we know one another's weaknesses and all these things, but we're not in a place that we want to change the other person. You see, in a lot of times when I feel when we read something like that verse, we need to walk in the light we hear. We must make sure that everyone around us walk in the light of the Lord. But that verse is totally for us. You know, you must make sure you walk in the light. You know, so even while I can say, you know, and I think that's something that my wife is so good at is I never feel she wants me to change. And because of that goodness, because of that, it makes me want to change. Are you with me? You know, and even this morning, as I, while praying, I just heard the whole time Jesus saying, the good news, the good news. You know, and we as Christians sometimes struggle to communicate the good news. You know, because a lot of times when people meet us, we are much more better to tell them what they do wrong and what's not in place, rather than sharing the good news. Does it make sense? You know, so even thinking about the way that we sometimes interact with one another is to get to that place not to show one another's faults, but rather so that you can yourself walk in a place of transparency. You know, even this weekend, what makes it so special is that a lot of times when something is done wrong to us or we see something being done wrong, we feel we've got the opinion and the right to show it out to the other person. But even if you look at Jesus, it is so amazing. While he's on the cross, and he really, really has a good excuse to be angry at everyone around him now, and even say what is happening to him is unfair, at the same time he says, no, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And you can immediately see his heart is for the people. He's not going here, but I have an opinion, I think I'm right, why don't we do according to that? And I think what is challenging for a lot of us is that God gave all of us, if you look at Romans 12, God gave to all of us a specific personality, a specific gifting, which make us unique and special. So for some of us, and I'm not going to go through all those verses, but let's say for some of us, God made you more like a prophet type person, so it means you're very black and white. You know what is right, what is wrong. You don't like to compromise. You don't like to see other people compromise. But at the same time, you will find if we start using our personality to judge other people just because you can see something better, well, then we're actually missing the heart of God. Are you with me? You know, it's the same. I always stand amazed, and I think if I read in the Bible, someone like Samuel, for example. So the Israelites wanted the king. So Samuel went to God. God says, this is really not a good idea. And Samuel obviously agrees. And he goes to the people and say, no, this is not a... Oh, what God tells Samuel, but go listen to the people. If you think about, you know, if you're a prophet, that's probably the worst thing you could ever hear from God, is go and listen to the people. So what is God doing here? He is actually helping Samuel so that his own gifting and strength don't get to a place where he doesn't understand God's heart. So Samuel goes to the people, he tells them, this is not a good idea to have a king again. And then again he went back to God. And this time, again, God actually, it's a bit more aggressive, says, no, Samuel, you must listen to the people. So God often uses our strength and the area that you feel very strong in to also actually test you in. The same it is, we read a story about the Sia and where he got married to a prostitute. Now again, if you're a prophet and God tells you to get married to a prostitute where you don't believe in any compromise, it should have been a very interesting conversation between Lucia and God. You know, I don't know about you. My own personality is a bit black and white. I think if I would hear something like that from God, I think I would have asked him to at least send an extra 5 angels confirmation through, I don't know, email, Twitter, Facebook. because it just doesn't make sense. And a lot of times in our friendships and in our conversations, you know, even if we walk here in church, God gave you a certain personality, a certain gift that you will see it's not in place. But if you start using that specific area to judge or forcing people to make sure they walk in the light, well, then you're actually missing the whole point. Does it make sense? And if you even read the whole story about all our personalities and how God created us, in Romans 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think more with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith. So when God even, or when we learn in the Bible of all these different giftings, being more mercy, more admin-wise, more leadership-wise, all these things, it is still from a place where God says, do not think too much of yourself. And then he shows us all those different giftings, and then right at the end he says, in verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. I want to read you another quite powerful message. Galatians 3 verse 13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord who forgave you, so you must forgive others. So this morning, I actually want to, how do we actually get to that place where we walk in the light? How does it actually look like? And I want to show you a picture. I've shown it before, like many years ago, about birds. There's one about birds. And for me, this is how our fellowship and walking in the light should look like. There's always, and there should always be, just quickly. So the birds, do you know why birds fly in that? You call it the echelon formation. It's because the first one obviously needs to know where we're flying, and then the next one is just flying the first one's slipstream, okay? And that's why they fly in that specific formation. And for me, this is such a good picture of how we should look like and how we should be having fellowship with one another. So for us to walk in the light, the question is actually quite easy. There must be someone in whose slipstream you are flying that creates a slipstream, make it easier for you to follow Jesus. And at the same time, there must be someone that's in your slipstream. And that is, for all practical purposes, also we must try, and when we let someone fly in your slipstream, is to actually help them understand the good news. Because again, we're sometimes very good at telling people what they do wrong, but is that actually showing them more of God's love, or are we just condemning them in telling them what is not in place? And for me, that is one of the areas that I believe God really wants to get us to grow in, that, and rather than just always wanting Jesus to be our healer, to be the provider and all those things, to actually sometimes also ask God, who is that person in my life that I can make it easier to follow you? Who is that person that I need to demonstrate more love to so that I can follow you? And in the same as in that picture, God decides which bird must fly where, and sometimes they make turns, all those things. But the challenge that we have is that the worst thing that we can do is to get to that place where we isolate ourselves, where we think we don't need to fly in another bird's slipstream, or we don't need to show someone God's love, and rather get to a place where we always can say what is right and what is wrong among us. You know, so even if I think back, I did Star Trek a few years ago. I don't know if you know what Star Trek, if you know what Star Trek is. We as a church at some stage cycled 7 times around the country, interceding. And I remember at that stage, I was quite fit. And how it worked was you pretty much cycle for 100 kilometers, and then you stop, and then you interceded for the town or the country. And I must honestly tell you, the disciple part was actually quite the easy part for me. The more difficult part was all those people in the team. And for us, a lot of times, we think the same with when it comes to God. It's actually easy. God asks you, go to do cycling around the country. That's like, okay, I will do that. It sounds like good obedience, good sacrifice. The part that he doesn't usually tell us is, and that's going to be in a team. The reality is God changes our character and our maturity usually within a team. And I remember we had a rule that you could be offended for 6 hours. And then you had it sorted out. Don't remember that rule. I remember the rules. So there was a rule, you could be offended for 6 hours, and then you had to deal with that. And if you couldn't live through your offense, one of you had to take a Translux car key back home. And I remember at some stage, the one lady came to me and she said, listen, one of me or you now needs that Translux car key, but we're not going to finish this together. And one of the problems was actually while we were cycling, usually when we get to a downhill just before the uphill, and you just had that momentum, and everyone is like nice in each other's slipstream, there was this one lady, she would always, I'm going to do this in Afrikaans, but she always go like, stadiger, stadiger. That was the worst I had for many years after that. I still had a nightmare of that girl saying, stadiger. For those that's English, meaning you must slow down. And again, this is one of those weird things. Some of us move quicker. Some of us move slower. And even in this case, who's the right person, who's the wrong person? Well, she could have maybe exercised a bit more beforehand. But the one in the character fault is definitely, you know, me. I'm struggling here. You know, because she wanted to go slower. You know, and a lot of times when God even speaks to us as a church, our expectation, it's not just about getting that place of a wrong expectation of perfection, but also a wrong expectation about how fast it must happen. You know, the Bible says if we walk in the light, he will forgive our sins, and that's instantly. But the rest is he will heal us, and he cleanses us. Did you notice God that didn't put a time to that? You know, so we sometimes have this expectations of even God moving of us in time, which is not his time. And in the same with us, with people around us, if we fly like that, one of the worst things that we can do is have an expectation that the person in front of me and behind me must go according to the speed, going according to the quality that I'm going. The reality is we need to slow down for the slowest person on the team so that person can grow. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to maybe just quickly see if they frown at me at some stage. But we have this weird thing of, again, putting weird expectations on one another. Wim-Jan, do you guys do that love languages at marriage preparation? That go like, yes, okay, I'm already a bit cautious here. We sometimes do courses like that, and we know, like, that person's love language is giving of gifts or affirmation, stuff like that. Where this becomes dangerous for me is that when my attitude is, because my love language is gifts, you must give gifts to me. Are you with me? That's very dangerous. Because God didn't give us all those information, which is good information, so that you can know what you need. But always what the other person needs. And we often more better at communicating to people what we need in a relationship. And if they don't meet that expectation, we're frustrated with them. And then actually not good enough. And then we want them to change. Are you with me? That's not God. Not at all. Again, if you look at Jesus on the cross, he was not about what he needs. He was thinking of what we were needing. And I think a lot of people misses that in their relationships, even here in church and with their marriage partners and all those, because they know what they want, but they don't know what the other person wants. And rather to get to a place where we can communicate that love. And for me, communicating that love is also communicating the good news. So again, even in our working environments, with our extended families, all those places, we are good at communicating our opinions, our personality, how we think, our rights, but we don't often get to a place where we actually just want to bring them the good news, meaning understanding them, understanding where they come from, so that we can actually show God's love to them. And this is something I really trust God that he will come and help all of us. Even for myself, as I said, I'm a general manager at Shofar, so God made me gifted. I can walk into a church like this and see 100 things that's wrong instantly. And my personality is then also I want to fix it immediately, you know. For those who've been here the last time when Heinrich, the video clips didn't show, who of you were here when the video clips didn't show? Who of you were here? There was a few. And then Heinrich says, thank you for bearing with me, of us. I'm sitting there and I'm not bearing with you anymore. I'm like, now God, I need to, you know, work here in my heart. But this is for me the amazing thing about God. At that moment, I can actually say to God, to walk here in the light means to say, this thing is bothering me and it shouldn't bother me. Are you with me? The amazing thing for those who've been here that morning, Loki stood up and he was much better than the video clip, by the way. You know? But we sometimes see mistakes and we think they must change. No, this is an opportunity for God to change you. Are you with me? And in that changing, you will bring good news. Imagine me afterwards would go to our elders and I would say, this is unacceptable. These things that don't work. He's already laughing. Did someone actually do it? I hope nobody did. But, you know, am I supporting the bird flying at the front or just making it more difficult? Are you with me? You know, I've shared it before, but I've got a special needs son. In the beginning, my family wanted to fix a lot of things. You know, they were even praying for his healing and all those things. And sometimes I actually asked them, don't try to fix things, just support. There's a difference in to support than to fix. We often just want to go and fix. And then it actually makes it worse in the way we do it. And that's why it's so important that when we want to help someone, and that's why the Bible says, when we speak the truth, speak it from love. You know, we first need to sort out our own hearts before we, you know, want to try and fix. So even like a situation like the video clips, no, the best part for me to support is to actually start praying, is to actually get to that place where, you know, if I can go and help, let me help, but it be not from a place because I think I'm better or because I think I can do something better. Does that make sense? Who of you have seen this guy need, I hope most of you, this guy selling the burger at the corner of, Helderberg Road? In Main Street. Who have you seen that guy? Let's just put up your hands. If you've seen. There's this guy there. And I hope you've seen him. When you drive past him, and he's been standing there for quite a few years now. I don't know, probably 5, 6 years. When you drive past him, he always waves at you. Like always. Now in the beginning, I must say, I'd look at him and I was like, why is he waving, you know? If I wave back, is he going to think I want to buy a burger, you know? So you don't wave back. You're like, you know, it's It's actually a bit weird. And after a while, you realize, well, you're not buying the burger, and he's still waving. And after a while, you start waving back. And, you know, the other day, I was just thinking, this guy is such a beautiful picture of God. That every morning, whether you buy the burger or not, he will wave to you. Whether you're driving a very fancy car or a very old car, he waves at you. Whether you're shouting at your kids or listening to worship music or praying in tongues, that guy is waving to you. And I think a lot of people, or God, is the same with a lot of us. He's standing every morning and he's waving to us. Not with the expectation that you can actually stop and buy the burger, but just because he's God and he wants to show us his goodness, he's every morning just waving at us. I saw in our community group here, the one week he wasn't there, it was like the people were like, where is he? You know? So that guy is for me such a picture of God's, also his goodness, that he doesn't really get to a place, whether you go to God or not, he's going to be there, he's always there for you, he's waiting at us. And it always seems, for those who've seen him, it doesn't look if he realizes, oh, but you're not buying a burger, he's not stopping. He's just always faithful there, waiting at us. And for me, that is a picture of actually how God is also. He's just standing there, knocking on our door, and hoping that at some stage we will come and pray with him, or talk to him, and not just about the things that he can do, not just us because of the things that we know should be fixed in our lives, or that we think we're not perfect, but actually just from a place where, God, show me how you see me. God, I want to see you better. And then, like I showed in that picture, God, show me someone in my life that I can love more, and show me someone at the front which I can support more. And how can I do that? You know, then I think we will get to that place where we really walk in fellowship with one another. Can we all stand? Well, Eugene, you guys can give out the communion. He's looking. Okay, come on. This morning, my message is actually very simple. And that is, it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. And what I'm hoping for is that we can demonstrate that also to people. In that demonstrating our goodness, we can help people get to a place of repentance towards God. And I do also want us to, even this morning, ask ourselves, are we walking in the light? Are we in fellowship with one another? You know, even Jesus, before the before that, Jesus even asked people to pray with him. And that is Jesus demonstrating him walking in the light. And I always think to myself, if Jesus needed people to pray for him, I'm sure we all need people to pray for us. And I said, for me, there's a lot of good practical reasons why we can't have fellowship in a practical with one another. But at the same time, there must be people in your life where you can be vulnerable to, and where you can show your vulnerability, and where we need to be in a place of fellowship with one another. And this morning, I hope that even when we're going to take communion, I'm hoping that God will come, and where our heart has grown cold towards fellowship or fellowship with one another, I hope that God will come and heal us in that area. At the same time, we also want to just come and bring our own expectations of people around us and just ask God, is my expectation of people around me, is my expectation of even church, expectations of my boss, my expectation of people that I work with, is it a realistic expectation? And is that expectation helping to get them closer to God? Is my expectations of them going to demonstrate God's goodness? Or am I just showing them that Christians are judgmental, don't know love, all those things? And I'm hoping that God will come and give us the wisdom, and I don't think there's a perfect answer on any of those things, but that we get to a place that we as Christians can say we walk in the light. So this morning, it's a bit of a self-assessment where you say, God, I want to walk in the light. I'm going to stop helping other people to walk in the light. I want to walk in the light. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to take communion. Thank you, God. Yes, Father, thank you, God, for your love. Father, thank you that your expectations is not one of, Father God, that we need to change, Father God, but it's through your goodness, Father God, that you bring those change, Father God. Thank you, God, for your heart for every person in this room and every person not here. And we pray, God, that you will come and reveal your love to us. Father God, come show us what it means to proclaim the good news, Father God, not just the message, Father God, but also to show the good news, Father God, and to even be that good news for people around us, Father, so that they can see you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And this morning, I pray, God, where there might be people that is not walking in fellowship, Father God, not walking in the light because of many reasons and because they feel even they can't trust people around them or they can't trust whosoever, Father God. We pray, God, that you will come and bring healing in those areas, Father. We pray, God, that you will come and, yes, Father God, bring restoration, Father, so that we can truly walk in the light. I bring, Father God, our own, Father God, unbalanced expectations of one another, Father, we bring before you, Father. And we pray, God, that you will come and teach us, Father God, to look to one another the way you look at us, Father God. And I pray, God, even where you've given us specific personalities, specific gifts, Father God, we pray, God, that those gifts and personalities will never, Father God, be used, Father God, to get to a place where we look down to people, Father God. But we will always come from a place of love and humility, Father God, and rather use those giftings to edify one another and to edify the team and to edify the body of Christ, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes, and this morning, as we take off the bread, and it's such a special time to celebrate communion. As I said in the beginning, we shouldn't just pray about the things that God can do, you know, being the healer and comforter, but at the same time, God invites us also to do all those things. So, you know, that's part of the bread, that's part of the body that was broken for us, so that as Jesus' body was broken, our bodies can be whole and that the circumstances can be whole. So this morning, while we take of the bread, I do want all of us just to bring every place or every area where you need, know you need Jesus, you know there's brokenness or something is you need healing or a relationship that needs restoration or you are expecting for a miracle or trusting the Lord for someone's salvation. I want us to even to just turn to one another and bring those things before the Lord and ask Him to bring wholeness for the fact that His body was crucified for it so that we can bring all those areas and all those things before the Lord. So I just quickly want us to just two by two, just pray together and say, and bring those areas that you know that needs healing or where you are trusting the Lord for something that Jesus will do in your life. Just bring those things before the Lord, and then we can have the bread together. Amen. Father and God, we want to bring the wine of symbolizing your blood, Father God. Thank you, God, that blood speaks also, Father God, obviously of the new covenant, and Father God, that door that's always open for us, Father God, to grow in our intimacy with you, Father God. Thank you, God, that even all these things that we're bringing before you, Father God, that your blood washes clean all sin, Father God, and washes clean all things, Father God. And we pray, God, that even in this process, God, you will come and make things new, Father God. Thank you, God, that we can trust for you to make new things new, Father God. And even this morning, we pray, God, that your blood will come and wash over every single relationship we have with people, Father, but also with you. And we pray, God, we want to invite you, Father God, that we can grow in our intimacy with you, Father God, and we will grow in our fellowship with one another, Father God, but from a place of purity, Father God. And we pray, God, that we will be more transparent, Father God, and with one another, not to fake, God, but to really, yes, God, grow that place of love for one another. And we pray, God, as we take this blood, after the wine, Father God, that we can celebrate what you've done for us, Father God, and that we can celebrate the fact that you risen, Father God, and that you also risen in every single relationship, and that we can trust you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Again, just as we take the blood, if you need to, and just pray a victory over some of those areas that you know you need, and especially around relationships, whether it's in church or at work or in extended family. But let's praise God for the victory that we can walk in. Then I just also this morning I want to send out an invitation to pray with anyone, and if you can throw that last slide quickly on. I want to pray for people or pray with people that really struggle in, you've actually lost your patience for people around you, and even your expectation of God with you and you with God. You know, as I said, God don't need to do anything quickly, even if that's our expectation. And I'm just for the summarize a few verses, it's a bit small there. But it's interesting that God don't really use the word quickly. The only time that he really uses it is when Jesus told Judas, what you need to do, do it quickly. The other times that he uses the word quickly is usually be quick to sympathize, be quick to listen. With the prodigal son, the father said, quickly bring a rope. But the rest of the stuff is always where the word quick or fast or are usually to do with actually where the devil wants something quickly. So he's quick to accuse. And a lot of times the impatience is something not driven, or the speed is not driven from God. He is so patient with us. But a lot of times in our expectation of one another and with God, there's an impatience that we feel God's not doing something quickly enough. And I think that's part of a lie that the devil wants to tell us, and where we actually can come get to that place of trusting God's timing in our lives and with people also around us. So if there's, as we all close our eyes, is there anyone this morning that just feel you're really impatient with the speed that God is moving in your life? Or with people around you, if you feel you know you don't really have that same revelation of God's timing in your life, just raise your hand if you know you need prayer in that areas. Amen. Father God, we want to bring everyone, Father God, that just put up their hand, Father God, when it comes to, Father God, just that sense of when you need to do something, how quickly you need to do it, and that sense of, yeah, Father God, timing, Father God, and even a wrong expectation. I pray, God, that you will come bring it peace, Father God, and a revelation, Father God, to trust you, Father God, in all those areas, Father God. We thank you, God, that when it comes to timing and stuff like that, it's something that we can give to you, Father God. And even if you've given us an urgency, Father God, even our urgency and our passions, Father God, we give it to you, Father God. And even as a sacrifice, and we pray, God, that you will come and bring healing in that part of our heart and our mind, Father God, to even put pressure and on things, or Father God, even to, Father God, even make something ripe before it's not ripe, ready, Father God. And we pray, God, for your perfect timing in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, everyone, thank you very much. I hope you have a great long weekend. I hope nobody of you is working on Monday, and that you will all have some fellowship at the foyer. Enjoy the coffee. Enjoy your family time.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.